Welcome to the Spa Girls podcast, the self-publishing podcast for authors. You're in the right place for the best writing, marketing, and publishing advice, plus interviews with industry experts and best-selling authors. I'm Char Barrett.
I'm Wendy Bella.
And I'm Cheryl Phipps. And today we have the lovely Dion Lister from Australia.
Yeah.
Hey,
Dion.
Welcome.
G'day.
Yeah.
I actually never say that, but what?
No, you have to do it.
There you go. Right? We've got to be a cliche, haven't we?
I don't want to let anyone down.
No.
Right, I'm just going to get straight into Dion's bio because it is fascinating, and then we're going to ask some questions. All right, so USA Today best-selling author Dion Lister is a Sydneysider with a degree in creative writing and two Siamese cats. Daydreaming has always been her passion, so writing was a natural progression from staring out the window in primary school, and being an author was a dream she held since childhood. Her books have attracted praise from Apple Books and have reached number one on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple Book charts worldwide. They're frequently occupying the top 100 lists in fantasy and mystery. Dion previously worked as an editor, has published a YA epic fantasy series called The Circle of Talia, and is currently writing the Rose of Marine fantasy series and the Paranormal Investigation Bureau cozy mystery series, which I highly recommend. Shadows of the Realm has been translated into Spanish and Italian, and Witchnapped in Westerham has been translated into German. So, this is Dion. Welcome.
Hello. Well, that bio is probably a touch old now because I've had six of my cozy mystery series books translated to German. So
very good.
But anyway,
that's great. We're going to touch on that later because I'm sure especially will be really interested in that. So tell us a bit about yourself. What got you started in your career as an author?
So obviously, as you've just told everyone, I've always wanted to be an author. And when I left school, people encouraged me not to do anything like that. get a proper job.
Yes.
So, I had proper jobs for a very long time, and I was eventually very sick of my proper job. And I wrote my first book when I was about 32. And then, of course, it was terrible. And I was subbing it out because back then there was no, well, the internet, it was very early days and there was no Amazon and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was snail mail and you had to sub to the publishers. Oh, God, my cat.
It's all right. It's fine.
Don't worry. We have dogs barking and all sorts of stuff.
I'm going to pick her up while she's saying hello. Anyway,
oh.
If I don't pick her up, she's going to keep screaming. I forget
snail
where
mail.
I was.
Your snail mail.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, so I got tons of rejections as you do. Then I realised that maybe my writing wasn't very good, and I also knew when I was reading it there was something I didn't like about it, but I didn't know what it was. So I felt like it was immature. And so then I ended up having two kids. I had one at 35, one at 37. I was still doing the day job. And then online was becoming more of a thing. And eventually I did a creative writing degree or an associate degree. I'm going to kick her out in a minute. through Southern Cross University. So my writing obviously improved. And then I became an editor while I was transitioning to being a writer because I was writing books and obviously wasn't making a living out of them for quite a while. So I put my first book out in 2012. And then things were kind of just chugging along. I was selling a few thousand every year because I was getting book bubs back when nobody knew what they were. And then turning point was I got writer's block when I was writing book two of a series of mine, a fantasy series. And then I didn't write for a year and a half, but I did a hell of a lot of reading. And that's when I discovered cozy mysteries.
I'm not sure I understand.
Jeez, everything's conspiring against me today. You'll have to hurry up and tell you so we can.
It's fine.
Question, just interrupting slightly, what do you know what caused the writer's block, or was it just mental burnout kind of thing?
I think the fantasy series I was writing at the time is a dark fantasy, and it's a story about a woman that's been abused as a child and she wants revenge on her father. And of course it's very gritty and there's the patriarchy in it, and she resents men and she doesn't trust them, blah, blah, blah. I had it's a very polarizing character. So I had lots of reviews that loved it, but I had a lot that hated her, saying she was immature and ungrateful. They just didn't get it, obviously. Yeah. And that kind of hurt at the time, because I thought, oh my God, because some of the reviews were terrible, like really bad. And also at the time, I had other family stuff going on. Yeah. And when you're emotionally like engaged with other things, you just can't, I don't know, I just couldn't write. And I knew that my book needed fixing. The second book, I'd half written it, and there were a lot of issues with it. And I thought, oh God, like I just can't deal with this. So then I couldn't write, and I didn't. But yeah, so just I'm gonna get rid of it because she's really.
It's okay. This is what cat owners all over understand. This if you're not watching on video, I normally have my two, which sadly aren't able to be with me here in the US at the moment. But they're normally the ones that are going backwards and forwards. They can be asleep for 6 hours, and then the minute I'm on Zoom.
She doesn't normally scream either. She only screams sometimes if I'm on the phone to my mum.
She probably knew you didn't want her to scream, so therefore
she knew.
So when did the cozy mystery start up?
So I was doing a lot of reading in that year and a half, and I discovered cozies, which I didn't know about, and particularly paranormal ones, because I've always obviously liked fantasy, so magic, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was devouring them, and I was like, oh, this is like I was reading a book a day. I was like, this is insane. This is costing me a fortune. And I eventually got to the point where I was like, oh, why don't I tell myself the story? And so I wrote book one because I hadn't written for so long. It took me, I think it was 11 days to write 50,000 words.
Wow.
Wow.
What the hell just happened?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yes, so it just poured out of me anyway, and that ended up I got advanced reviews from like NetGalley and stuff, but a lot of those readers are on Goodreads and a lot of them really loved it, and their enthusiasm and sharing it actually gave it a bit of a buzz, so it released quite well, and I haven't looked back. So I think I was about a year in and five books into the series where I was confident I was making enough that it was going to replace my other daytime job. So then I just quit my daytime job, and so I've been doing it full time ever since. Yeah,
wow.
So that was 2019. Mid 2019, I quit the day job. Okay. So that was first book came out I've got the book here, mid 2018, so that's
awesome.
Which
Nat in Westerham.
Yes.
So obviously paranormal witches.
Witches in England, and my main character's Australian.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. So that way she can speak Australian without
And that was one thing that I was going to ask you about. Well, several things actually lead me to that, but the fact that you are an editor or were working as an editor, how does that impact on your book itself? So it's going to be a lot cleaner than perhaps a lot of other people. So are you still getting other editors in?
Editing, although my creative editor, because I miss things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't see if your character's being annoying. Or a bit inconsistent. Yeah. So I definitely have an editor, Becky. She's fantastic. So she does that for me, but she also goes in and fixes a little bit of punctuation as she goes, I guess, if she just notices it quickly. Mm-hmm. But I generally go through it and do that myself. But it's fairly clean when it gets to Becky. Yeah. And that's even just one draft. I'm really terrible. I sent her the first draft. I would never do that if I wasn't practiced and I knew what I was doing.
Yes,
but I kind of go through and fix things as I go. But there's still lots of like little mistakes. But punctuation wise, it's usually pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that about the fact that you know you're sending it to her quite clean, because that's going to make a difference to you in the end, doesn't it? How long she's got it for, and you know it's going to affect your timeline as well, because you're quite prolific, aren't you? How many books do you put out a year?
6.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. So did that happen right from 2019, Dion? Like when you did the first witchnapped, like and that fight, like 11 days, like I think there was part of you that wondered, can I repeat this, you know, this kind of pace again after being blocked for...
Yeah, well, I've never done one in 11 days since then, I have to say that. And there's a lot of procrastination. So I usually take about 4 or 5 weeks to write a book now. Right. And they're about anywhere between 50 and 65,000 words.
That's still a fair clip, though.
Yeah, it's an average kind of, the beginning of the book is always quite slow for me, and I do 1 to 2,000 words a day. And as you get to the middle, you can have average 2,000 words a day, sometimes 3, but towards the end, the last probably 3 or 4 days, I'm there doing 4,000, 5,000, mm-hmm. 8,000 words.
Yeah.
So when I know where it's going, because I don't plot.
Right.
I'm a pantser.
Yes. So how do you not plot a cozy mystery? Like, you must have an idea of what the crime or what the murder or who the victim is at some point. How much do you have in your head when you start?
I have a general idea of who committed the crime. Although that can change, because I go, oh, maybe it's not them.
Yes, exactly.
And their motivation, and then obviously I know who the victim is because they've got to show up pretty soon. And sometimes it's usually about the first chapter.
Have you got extensive spreadsheets? Because if you're writing series, are you? All the characters' details and stuff, is that how you keep track of everything?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be.
Same as me. Great intentions, right? So I mean, you want to do it.
Well, I've recently started because my editor has one, and I feel guilty because I'll always, if I forget a name or a detail about a character or a place, I'll just go XX and I'll come back and fill it in later. But sometimes I don't do that before editing. Mm-hmm. I go, I'll just fix it when I read through it. But she'll go, oh, I found this. So she, such a bad client. But I have started a series Bible for my new series, which is, since we're talking about it right now. So that's book one in my new series I'm about to write, book 5. That's Haunting Avery Winters. So that's another cozy mystery with an Aussie in the UK, and she can see ghosts.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So that one I started the right way, and I've got like a Word doc with all the characters and their descriptions and all the rest of it. But my Witchnap series, I just wrote book 19 just came out, and I finally started the series Bible. So I got there in the end.
I don't know how you keep up to date with them with that many books and you've got no series Bible. I just can't, my mind is blown. It's like,
right.
Well, there's a lot of going back, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is, yes. Yeah, you have to kind of get yourself reacquainted, especially last time there was such a – I put the last witch book out in February, and then the next one's just now, and that's because I had a Avery – I call it Avery book and a Lily book. Mm. I had the ghost book with Avery release in that time and the dark epic fantasy series, because it had been 6 years since I'd put that to the side.
Okay.
And I had people waiting for it. So I thought, I can't just be that author that just never finishes it. So I did book 2. But that actually has hurt me. So because I didn't put anything out in my Lily books for so long, the last 2 months have been, the sales have dropped off because there isn't that extra visibility that you get from releasing a new book and Amazon algorithms and, you know, rankings on Apple and all the rest of it.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I've learnt that lesson, so I won't ever leave it that long in between. No. But I'm also trying to build up the Avery series so I can then put book 1 for free and do the advertising, but I'm not ready to do that yet because there's only 4 books out.
Uh-huh. Do you feel that it was worth it going back to finish that book that you felt like you needed to? Do you think the trade-off was worth it?
No. It wasn't, but I would do it again because I feel a sense of responsibility to my readers, and also it's just hanging there in the background. So I will do the last book in that series and then I can just leave it. And then maybe I'll market book 1 and it might do okay. But anyway, my loyal readers, some of my Cozy Mystery readers who didn't know me before Cozy Mystery have actually bought book one and two in that series and said that they enjoyed it, but it's pretty dark.
Mm. Yeah. So is it the two series that you've got, the two main series?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So it's the two Cozy series are the ones now that I'm really working on, and I will continue to write Cozy Mysteries, I guess. I would love to write romance because I read a lot of romance and they sell so well, but I'm so bad at it, so I don't know that I will.
I'm sure you wouldn't be.
I don't believe it.
No.
Being an Aussie author writing these books set in England, where do you think your biggest audience actually is now?
At the moment, because I've got Germans are one of the biggest readers in the world in terms of culturally, they're just, that's what they do. They love reading. And they were buying my English books, but since I've done the German translations, it's quite equal between America, UK and Germany. And sometimes Germany is my biggest selling store in terms of money, even though it's got the fewest books in terms of translations, but they do pick up the English ones too. Yeah, so.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It is. It's really good. Really good to hear too. Because
How do you do marketing everywhere?
Facebook. So I do Facebook ads, although the German ones only spend $10 a day. I don't do massive ads and some KDP ads, even though they're not they're all my books are wide, although the Germans I started off in KU because I'd heard that was good. They just do 3 months in KU and then come out. Some authors do really well in KU and it suits their business model and they're making money, so why change? And I get that. I just don't like that not everyone wants to buy from Amazon or if they've got a Kobo, they can't, whatever. I feel like it's not fair that they can't access my books. I also don't like monopolies because then if everyone goes to this monopoly, we lose our choices later and we get screwed.
Yeah. It
always happens. All your eggs in one basket. I mean, what if Amazon shuts your account? And I've heard a lot of authors have KU and then someone will steal their book, as they do. Mm-hmm. They put it up on other places and then Amazon writes to them and goes, well, you're publishing somewhere else. We're going to close your account. And then you've lost your income.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few factors that mean that I generally don't. I'm not saying in the future I will never.
You just don't know. And I think it is genre specific too, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, I'm in KU with my historicals and I would never pull them out because I make too much money. But
yeah,
my contemporaries are wide and that's the better audience for them. And I just think, you know, everyone's different. And you find your niche, don't you? You find what works for you.
And I also think if you're an author and people are telling you don't do this and don't do that, ignore them because everyone is different. Everyone has their own journey. You have your own goals and your own plan. And you figure out what works for your books and just do that. Don't ever let anyone tell you. It's like writing. There's some things you shouldn't do because, like, overuse of exclamation marks and stuff. But sometimes there's rules that go, you should never do this or that. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've got a question. What made you decide to set the books in the UK as opposed to Australia or anywhere else?
Australia I find boring because I live here.
Yeah, I was going to say you live there. It's like with New Zealand for us. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly the same.
And I love the UK and I was there a few years ago to see some family. And they took me to visit Westrum. We had coffee there and everything. And I was like, this would be a great place to set a book. And I'm like, if I set a book here, I can claim it on tax when I visit.
Of course.
Good point.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's why. But I do love England. I just love England. So that's the reason, if I'm going to be honest.
No. I remember years, like we're talking decades ago, hearing Stephanie Lawrence say the exact same thing, that remember you can take, you know, your research trips are a viable business expense that can be claimed. So, you know.
Exactly. And I'm going there next year in May. I've got an author friend who writes thrillers and she used to live here but she's English and she's back over there now. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing a library tour in Kent next year in May.
Fun.
So I'm so excited. Yes, tax deductible.
So how do you get on writing a real place in a book not being there kind of thing. So
Google, what's it, Earth? Google mm-hmm. Earth is really good. Mm-hmm. And I've got a cousin that lives over there, so I can ask her questions if I'm desperate. And that's about it, really. I mean, I have got readers that, because, of course, writing somewhere that you don't live and I've only visited and I haven't spent a lot of time there,
yeah,
you do worry that, oh, my God, I'm going to get stuff wrong and people are going to see right through it and they're going to hate it and they're going to give it a bad review because they live there and they're like, this isn't how it is. But I've only ever had positive feedback from people that live there, and because it used to just give me like terror when someone would go, oh, I live in that area, I'm going to grab it, you know, on the Facebook ads do, people make comments and you're like, oh, shit, no, don't do that. But then they go, oh, it just really, you know, I haven't lived there for ages and it took me back and blah, blah, blah. So, excuse me.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, yeah, so I thank God I got it right.
You're doing a good job there. Very good job there.
I remember getting feedback from writing a story on the East Coast and somebody mentioned that the water wasn't the colour that I described. And I thought, you know what? If that's the only complaint you've got, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
And I'm sorry, but depending on the weather, the water colour changes.
I was going to say, it depends on the clouds.
Yeah. So
people are funny. People are funny, but you can't please all the people all the time.
Never.
Just got to keep going.
And speaking of pleasing all the people, one thing that absolutely fascinates you, fascinates me about you, Dion, is the fact that you don't actually have a huge newsletter list. Now, was that because you didn't want to do one and came to it late, or, you know, is it something to do with just having it organic? What's the reason behind it?
I was late to the party because I didn't want to do it. Because my mindset was like, but who wants to hear from me? Like, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And aren't there enough newsletters? Aren't people sick of them? I'm sick of them. So I was like, I don't want to bother people. So that's why I didn't do it. But then I thought, oh, for God's sake, just do it. Because now everyone's coming to the thing where everyone's getting subscribers and they're swapping newsletters. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that because I don't have a newsletter. And then I thought, but what if there are some readers that just want to hear about my next release or if I'm having a sale or something? And I thought, oh, stuff it, I'll just do it.
Kicking and screaming into it.
Yes. So I've had one for about a year, roughly, maybe a year and a half.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I've only got, I don't know, 1,200 subscribers. I started with Book Funnel. Excuse me, but then I thought, you know what, there's a lot of people that are probably on there just to get the
freebie
book.
Yeah,
and then they're going to unsubscribe, and I don't like saying to someone, you can't have this book unless you subscribe, because I'm forcing them into doing it. I think it's much better just to have, and also all the authors are doing book funnels, so then we all get the same subscribers, so what's the point of swapping in that case? So that was just my logic, and I just thought, no, I'm just going to put it in the back of my books. If they want to sign up, they're not strong-armed into doing it. It's their choice and they actually want to be there then.
Yeah.
And since I've done that, I have way less unsubscribers.
Yeah.
When I send out an email. But when I first started and I had a lot of book funnel, oh, I was getting like, you know, 10 to 20 unsubscribes when I sent an email, and I don't send that many. But now I've kind of, those people have been weeded out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bearing that in mind, that you don't have a huge list, where do people come to find you? How are you advertising heavily in other platforms?
Yeah, I do KDP advertising. Mm-hmm. I probably spend, $200 or $300 a month there over all countries, because I just advertise my first free in series, and then Facebook ads, I spend anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 a month on those, and then I'll do occasionally, like maybe once a month for like 4 or 5 days, I'll do BookBub CPC ads, because I can't get a BookBub for the life of me in the category that I want. They keep offering me shit categories that don't correlate, and. Anyway.
BookBub's a bit of a nightmare, isn't it?
It is, but when you get them, they're fantastic, and so you just keep banging your head against that wall and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so basically my main sources of income come from Facebook and Amazon. Mm-hmm. But like I said before, releasing a new book is actually a really big kick to your visibility, and it's all about visibility, as we know.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
And you Facebook page. Sorry, Sharon.
That's okay. And I was just going to ask, with the Facebook ads for Germany, do you translate them? Do you Google Translate? Do you have somebody that does it for you?
I did Google Translate, and I made it fairly simple and then just put a excerpt from the first chapter.
Right.
In the book, and just the links. And I only spend $10 a day there. They could probably be tweaked and made better. But I'm like, oh, I don't want to bother my translator and whatever. So just
Google Translate is quite good, isn't it? Very handy.
It is very handy, and they get the gist of it.
Yeah.
For like the readers. But yeah, and the KDP ads work well for Germany in Germany. And there's also a for people who have translations in German, Buch deals. So it's B-U-C-K deals. They're good. And they actually got me a lot of sales for my English free book, like that in England before I had the German. That's what made me think I'll do German translations, because the English books were selling quite well there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
I've got some book deal ads coming up next week.
Do you have translations?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
So I'm going to see how they go. But it'll be interesting. Yeah.
They should do well.
Yeah.
So how do you balance everything? Because you're writing a lot. So how do you do writing in the morning, advertising in the afternoon?
No, my days aren't structured. I have a funny feeling I'm undiagnosed ADD. Because you should see my desk, but I'm not going to show you. I tidied up, but within a week it's messy again, and so then a year later I'll tidy it. But I'm all over the place, and my day normally starts with a coffee, and I do Wordle, and then and I've got another.
As you do.
And then I'll try and get stuck into the writing. I do actually have I do weights with a personal trainer twice a week in the mornings. So those days my day doesn't start till probably 12. And then, like, I was supposed to have started writing my next book, which is due to the editor on the 6th of December. I was meant to start writing that, I think, on Monday. I haven't started. So today I'm doing this podcast and I'm meeting a friend for coffee.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Work-life balance. It's vitally important.
Yeah, I kind of just go with the flow. That's me. I've always just gone with the flow. And when my deadline's coming up, I freak out and all the writing gets
done.
You
just, like, could be my sister to another
month. Oh, right. Very, very, very.
Good company there, Dion.
Excellent.
Well, Wendy's grinning away here. She's found a light.
I was meant to start my next book on Monday too.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yay.
It happens
though,
doesn't it?
Life gets in the way. Best laid plans, you know. You've got to also have that balance, you know.
Life has to be lived as well, you know.
And so some days I am, like, on my deadline and I do have to say no to people. You know, I can't do that extra Hapkido class. I can't go to coffee. I can't do this. And that's fine, because it's only for, like, you know, 2 weeks where I'm really – absolutely saying no to everything. And then your brain just needs a break, I think.
I think that's
the problem.
So Dion, we were talking about how you've been progressing with your marketing without having a huge newsletter, but what tipped you into going full-time was getting to a certain level. How many books in was that?
I think that was about 5 books in, maybe 6. So that was a year in. I got to the point where I was earning the same from my books as I was from my part-time job. It wasn't even part-time, because I was basically, by the time I was a property valuer. So by the time I did my inspections, that was 3 days a week, but then I had all the reports to do. I mean, I was writing in my spare time and I had 2 little kids, so it was quite hectic.
Wow.
So when I was earning probably about $4,000 a month profit at the time, and I thought I'll make sure that sticks, because, you know, you do it 1 month and you think, oh, it's a fluke. Like, it can't be happening.
Yeah.
And then so after 3 months of that, I'm like, you know what, I'm ready to go. So, but it so it started, you know, you start, you make, you know, $1,000 a month, and then it goes up to $2,000 a month, and then three, then four. And so, yeah, so that was my point where my husband and I agreed I could afford to drop the other job. And I did, and I haven't looked back. So, yay.
Excellent.
Yes. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yes. I think people are really, thank you for sharing that, because I think people are often interested about, you know, where the line in the sand is. But I guess it's going to be different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know? It is. It depends. Mm. Yeah, it depends where you live and does your spouse work and all this stuff. So my husband has his own business, but we live in Sydney, which is very expensive. Mm. So there was a point at which it was either, you know, do the books or get a different full-time job, because my valuing job wasn't paying me what I wanted anyway. But thank goodness this worked out.
Yeah, it's good.
Doing something you love is so worth it, isn't it, really?
Oh, it's fantastic.
A lot of people don't get that opportunity.
When you first started off with those first few books, though, Dion, as you're building up to that point, were you advertised then? I know you said now that you're not advertising that second series much until you really get the numbers behind it.
Yeah, I haven't advertised it at all, really.
Okay. No. So, but when going back to when there's, say, maybe four or five books out, were you advertising at that point?
Yes, I was. I was. So I think by then I'd, because actually, yeah, I definitely was, probably not as much as I am now. And it started off, the book was 99 cents when I first released. And I think at the time, I remember, so I spent the money on getting the reviews, and they're honest reviews from NetGalley. It's very honest. Yeah. My first review ever for, and it's a new genre, a new book. And I was like, please be it, universe, you know, be the thing that
please.
Yeah. And my first review was, which was hilarious because I'm an editor. I had the content editor on it. I also had at the time another editor to do the line editing. And so there were three editors that worked on this book and a proofreader. And the review was one star, reads like it hasn't been edited, or reads like a first draft. That was it. Reads like a first draft.
No. We've all been down that road.
Oh, I was like, you're kidding me. Like, oh my God, I failed. Like the whole thing's. But then that was the only really bad review I got. And now it has over 5,000 reviews on Amazon, and it's got an average of like 4.4 stars or something.
Fantastic.
So this review was just somebody, a troll or something.
It could have been somebody that got the wrong book. That happens too. Yeah. They're reviewing a book with a similar title. So I guess that it's easy for me to say, but please don't let this put listeners off. And don't take it to heart when people do that, because
we've all had
all
that feedback
of...
that sent us under the covers for a day.
Okay. But let's actually acknowledge 5,000 reviews on a book.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Hit that milestone recently. So I was very excited. I was like, yay.
Wonderful.
So what do you do when you're actually putting up a new release now? I mean, you do have your newsletter now, but it's not huge. You are doing some ads, but are you doing anything specific? Are you going back to book one and making it free, or?
Book one's is always free. It's perma free. Mm-hmm. And I don't do anything really. I usually even, I'm lucky if I say anything about it, I'm hopeless. I'm so bad. Because I think, you know, people don't care about the next book unless they're already reading the series. Right. So I tell my Facebook, I've got over 2,000 Facebook followers on my author page, and they're quite, not all 2,000 of them are super engaged, but I have a few hundred that are very engaged. Mm-hmm. So I tell them about the next release, but a lot of them have probably already pre-ordered it. I did send my newsletter out last night, and I think that got a few sales from people that, you know, don't pre-order books. But then I had a few emails from people going, oh yes, I'd already pre-ordered it, it's landed on my Kindle, yay, whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
So I don't do a lot for them, and I only ever advertise the first book in the series. And I've actually been quite lucky with Apple Books, because they ever since, I don't know, many years ago, there was a guy that ran it in Australia, and he was awesome, and he really supported and then kind of things went a little bit off the rails over successive people who sort of took over the role, and I wasn't getting featured. But then I'm in a group called Wide for the Win on Facebook. Yes. So that's a great author group to join. And they had an Apple, like a presentation that you could sign up to watch. And they actually then now I have a connection to the lady that runs everything in the US. And they feature my books all the time. So they actually, before this release happened, a couple of weeks ago, they don't tell you when they're featuring your book, but they had my book one featured as a free book of the week in Wonderful. Mystery. Yes. Yeah, oh, and I didn't know that was happening because I was like, why am I getting all these downloads?
So, wonderful.
Awesome. So get little help from not little help, it's quite decent help. So you can get help from other places that you don't expect when you kind of have put in the effort in the past to do, you know, to look at presentations or to join groups and engage and all the rest of it. I do have a bit of help from Apple, and I do love them because they're my second best selling store next to Amazon. And it's not easy to sell books there because they don't have a paid for platform. And when you do Facebook ads, most of those sales go to Amazon, but I do have all my links there. But when I do BookBub, the CPC ads, I will send them to specific stores and countries. So I'll do Apple US or I'll do Apple Australia or whatever. They're the ones that mainly get me downloads, as they do quite well. You only run them for a few days.
Yeah.
But they get me some decent downloads on Apple or Kobo or Barnes & Noble.
And do you do print as well?
Yes, I do. I do. And actually my print sales have been improving. But they're still a very small percentage of my overall sales. I don't know what they might be, 2% or 3% or something.
And you have box Greta. Sets as well. You have box sets as well for your series.
Only one. My first three books in my witch series. That's it. I know people say box sets do better on Kobo. Box sets do better on Barnes and Noble or Google Play is. And I'm like, yep, I'll get around to it.
But you do go to Apple Direct?
Yeah, no, actually through Smashwords, they're the only one I don't do direct because you've got to jump through a lot of hoops and CST stuff and all this. And I'm like, oh, I'll just lose 10% of my income to Smashwords because it's so much easier. Yes. But they're the only one I don't go direct to. I think all the others are so easy to go to direct to. You're throwing away your 10% royalties if you... No offence to Smashwords or Draft to Digital because they provide a good service. Yes. But, yeah.
That's really good. Well, I guess we're winding down to the end of our interview, but I really, unless the girls have some really...
I'm good. Thank you.
I thought you might like to tell our listeners about our little project that we've got going with a group of authors, our anthology.
Oh, this is me you're talking to?
Yes.
Yes.
Remember that? Remember that project?
Yes. Oh, well, we're writing, how many are there, 10 of us?
10 of us, yeah.
10 of us, yeah, and we're all writing a novella that's sweet and magical and mysterical, that's not a word.
Mystical?
Mystical and mysterious as one combination. Yeah. So that's quite a cool word, really.
Yeah, I like that.
There's some great, great names in there, lots of USA Today bestsellers.
Well, they're all best. I think pretty much everyone is a bestseller, even if it's just that they've sold, you know, thousands of copies in a week on Amazon or whatever. And I'm really looking forward to writing that story. I haven't started yet. I have no idea what it's going to be about.
Same, absolutely same. We're hopeless, but other things to do.
Exactly. But I think that's going to be a good, I can't wait to read the stories in it, actually. And is that 99 cents?
It's going to be 99 cents on pre-order, and the pre-order's up now, and but it's not coming out till next August, so.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's a little pump. It'll get us time to write another book around it, I think.
Yes.
Because it'll be a new series, won't it?
I don't know. I might with Witchnapped. I did a Christmas anthology once, and I was already a few books in, so I didn't want to give all the secrets away. So I only had three of the characters in it, and I made it so that in order to engage with the perpetrator, because you know there are witches, my main character had to agree to a mind wipe at the end of it, so that she wouldn't remember any of it. Wow. So I got around
that's
it like, that way.
That's very cool.
Very clever. Very clever. I think I have a mind wipe every day, to be honest with you. I feel like I wake up and don't know anything.
Wish you could just go in like a computer and just go, I'll get rid of that.
Don't want to know about it.
Close all tabs. Yeah. So that's awesome. So that will hopefully, the purpose of this is to kind of, in a way, get new audience for your own books, you know, from your us working with the other authors. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. And everyone's sharing it.
It's also to make a list as well. So,
Hopefully we will. But we're all going to be pushing it really hard. And it actually, the price will go up to $3.99 after the first week. So it it's an incentive for everyone to get out there and get it for 99 cents. I mean, that's a lot of free money.
Go you.
And what's it called? Can I ask what its title is?
Sweetly Spellbound.
It's a really nice cover too.
I really love it. And so what's your latest project apart from that?
Okay, so I've just released book 19 in the in Paranormal Investigation Bureau series, Witch Showdown in Westrum. So that one's out now, and now I'm about to write book 5 in my Haunting Avery Winter series. There's book 1.
Well done.
So that comes out next year, I think, comes out in January, and then I've got to write the next Lily book, Paranormal Investigation Bureau. So that's book 20, and that comes out in March.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
So is there an end in sight in terms for that series? Have you got a number in your head, or are you just going to keep going?
I'm just going to keep going while it's still selling and people are still asking for it. And I absolutely know that I would get this far, but people still want more. So who am I to argue?
It's a great series.
Just giving the people what they want.
Exactly.
That's my job.
So if people want to find you and read your books, where would be the best place, Dion?
Dion Lister on Facebook, Dion Lister or Dion Lister Author on Twitter. I think I'm just Dion Lister. Instagram, Dion Lister Author. TikTok. Dion Lister. I'm so bad.
She's hilarious on TikTok.
And so everywhere I'm just my name. And I don't use a pen name either, because I don't need to write what I write. So it just makes it easier for me. I can't imagine trying to juggle more than one account with different names. Like, oh, I have enough trouble with my.
That's not easy, eh, Wendy? No. And where can we be found, Shah?
And we can be found in a similar vein at Spar Girls Podcast on, we tweet occasionally, but Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Instagram, Facebook, and of course, spargirlspodcast.com.
Awesome.
And the best thing is if you would like to come and join our Facebook community, which is for Patreons or patrons from Patreon, go to patreon.com/spargirlspodcast.
Buy us a coffee.
Buy us a coffee, maybe a sticky bun.
And I just have to say thank you for having me today, ladies. It was so nice to meet you.
You're so welcome.
It's lovely sharing your time with us. Thank you very much. We've really enjoyed it.
And congratulations on your success. That is very, very impressive in a short time.
Thank you. Now I'm very excited for myself.
Good for you.
Good. You should be, and proud.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll be back. Same
bat channel, same bat time.
Take care, and we will see you later.
Next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.